disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Seated on the throne, and you have everything in your power. Everything is under your feet, for you are sovereign and you are Lord. And Father, we thank you that we are always in your presence. We are never for a second a moment out of your divine presence, who's ever looking toward us, leading us and guiding us, preserving and keeping us. Father, we thank you that our salvation is a miracle. It is a sovereign work of God. You are preserving and keeping us all. Lord, we thank you for your mighty hand and touch over our lives, working with us daily, hourly, momently, working your will into our lives. And Father, we thank you again for the opportunity tonight in which to receive of your living word. And Lord, may each of us mix faith with that which we hear. Help none of this word to fall on deaf ears or hard ground. Help us, Lord, to take into our hearts that it will bring that fruit that glorifies your name. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I'd like to really carry on a little bit from the theme from last time, which we were looking very much at our salvation and looking at the signs of our salvation and what we should be experiencing and indeed expecting. And it's in many ways a continuation on that, but I'm using a different title this evening. And our title tonight is Our Daily Lives Should Be a Miracle. Our Daily Lives Should Be a Miracle. Salvation is a miracle. The way God turns us around and begins to work with us, and how our lives, our heart, our affections, everything dramatically changes, that is a miracle and should be experienced by everyone who's divinely born again from above, through the Holy Spirit. And this is why I'm spending time about this, because the deeper life which we're preaching is to be our daily experience. It's not simply a teaching. It's not simply a theological idea. It's not something that is just for a few, or very few can attain. It's not theologically difficult and really, really hard to grasp and understand. All of these things in the flesh, that's how we view, that's how we think. But when the Holy Spirit, who is sovereign, comes into our lives, we then begin to see a power working on our behalf, changing us, molding us into the likeness of Jesus. And this power that works on our behalf indeed is a miracle. This power, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, creates this work, creates these miracles, these changes. everything that could never be achieved or done in ourselves. And we know that many try to do this and they simply become religious, doing it in their own strength. And very often, those people are the ones who want God in their own image, in their own likeness, their own will, and their own way. And that is why you have numerous denominations, religious people, all believing, holding on to certain principles, heresies, you name it, is prevalent. It's getting worse and worse. And always you will find, when you listen to them or talk with them, that they are making God into their own image, their own likeness, their own nature, their own character, whatever. That's how they're making God, because they say that doesn't matter how you worship God, doesn't matter what you really believe, as long as you believe God and you believe in Jesus, we will all make it in. Oh, I wish it was so, because it would make my job a lot easier. But that is not the case. And the reason that I'm labouring in this, because I want every one of you to experience and know the power of the Holy Spirit changing your lives and conforming your lives into the likeness and image of Jesus. That in many ways is the ultimate of the deeper life. And that is why it's an open door that we go through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we can go as deep and as far as we want with God. He's taken all the limits off, and it is all appropriated by faith, simply believing on that basis. So our daily lives should be a miracle. Abraham, who displayed faith, the walk of faith, and we are now spiritually of the seed of Abraham. It is interesting that Abraham walked with God by faith, where he was ultimately tested, as we know, with his faith in the offering up of his son, the apple of his eye. But what is interesting is, if you have been wonderfully born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is changing your life, you are going to learn that you don't choose your sacrifice. It's chosen for you. And God will sooner or later reveal this to you, because he's sovereign. Abraham didn't choose that sacrifice. It was chosen for him. And therefore, because it was chosen for him, God worked in his life so that he could come to that place and offer up his only son, or was willing to offer up his only son. God chose that. And if God chooses things for our life, as well as our walk, he chooses our walk, it's predestined, he has gone before, then he makes the provision for that to be achieved. For what purpose? For you? No, for the glory of God. He didn't confer with anyone, he didn't argue with anyone, he didn't argue with God, he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He simply obeyed and moved forward, because God had already gone before. That was God's choice for him, to teach him how to walk by faith. This is why we make so much about faith in this assembly, because it's God's choice, both individually and corporately, how we walk that walk of faith. You don't decide or choose how to walk by faith. Your path is chosen by God that glorifies him. That is what makes your walk, my walk, a miracle. Because it cannot be achieved or done in the natural. Man will always, in his own mind and his own way, he will work out a different route. He will choose a different path. He will always find the easier way in which to glorify and praise and worship the Lord. It's called denominationalism. That's why the Bible says, come out of Babylon. Come out from among them, because it's harlotry. It isn't a divine walk. Their lives are not an expression of a miracle, a change, unlike those who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't decide your sacrifices. Your sacrifices are chosen by God and will be revealed to you in your walk in God's time and way. And whatever sacrifice you meet, God will have worked in you so that you will not question, you will not argue, you will not choose whatever it will be. You will walk by faith, knowing that God will deliver you, that God will receive that sacrifice, because our whole walk, like Abraham, is a walk of faith, obedience, in other words. These sacrifices in nature are ultimately obedience. And indeed, to get us to obey, is that not a miracle? For man is basically rebellious. Doesn't have to work at it. It comes as easy as breathing. So to get us to obey God is indeed a miracle. So the question is, has God changed the things in your life that you regard as so important? Has he changed all of those things? Is he changing your affections? Things that you once thought were so important, or you put so much effort in, or you're believing in, or whatever it is, have you found since being saved that all of these things don't matter anymore? All that matters is walking with God and seeking him that day and the kingdom. Nothing else really matters. Certainly not to an overcomer. And so if we find ourselves still caught up in the things of this world, striving, moved by the things that we hear, or what goes on in your life, or whatever, there's still that work then he has to do in our lives. The question is, what are trials producing in your life? Are the trials that you're going through in nature, are they a miracle? Because they are producing fruit in your life. They are causing you to come out the other end, praising, thanking, and worshipping the Lord. Are you meeting the risen Lord Jesus Christ in your trials? Are you aware in your trials, this is supernatural, God bringing me through those fiery flames? That is why we go through these trials, because that's what God wants to show you and teach you. Did you overcome? Or did the overcomer who lives in you achieve it? That's the question. Did you overcome in your own effort? Maybe going to the arm of the flesh? Or did you overcome because the overcomer has already overcome who lives in your life? you draw the overcoming power from him who lives in and through each of us. This is why it is supernatural. And I think sometimes we are still trying to overcome. And you never will. And this is why we fall and we find ourselves running to the arm of the flesh or relying on man through the trials, not really overcoming, because I am trying to overcome in my own method, in my way, in my thinking, in my timing, in my planning. Forget it. You never will. You've lost your trials. Don't even attempt to try and overcome or believe through a trial unless you are drawing from the overcomer who has already overcome death, life, now who's seated at the right hand of the Father. We draw from him, the overcomer, who lives in our life. And that is what makes it supernatural. There is the difference, brothers and sisters. See, our true salvation is worked out in me by the Holy Spirit. And that is what salvation is about. If I'm truly born again, it is the Holy Spirit who's working it out in my life each day. That is why we're saved and we are being saved on the other side of it. As it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, as we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, we walk in that fellowship. Fellowship with the Godhead, fellowship with each other. This unbroken fellowship, which again is a miracle. That God is working in us and through us. And this is why, of course, I keep saying that if you do fall short or you miss the mark, then get back in fellowship as soon, as quick as possible. Because sin always makes us want to run away and hide. And that's, of course, exactly what the enemy wants. So, in your overcoming, are you drawing from the one who has overcome? Are you finding yourself rising up, no matter how hard it is or how much it hurts or whatever it is? I can, I will overcome, because the one who has overcome all things lives in my life. Therefore, I can overcome. But you will never overcome if it is in your own strength, your own intellect, your own idea or understanding. Overcomers, when they understand this and realize that the overcoming is a miracle in my life, this is when you can let go. And it is the letting go, then you experience the power of God bestowed on your behalf, finally taking over. Jesus let go at the cross and gave up the ghost in order for the power of the Holy Spirit to raise him up from the grave. All the while he would hold on, the Holy Spirit could not accomplish that work. And that is the same principle that we live by as well. And this is why God is delivering us from fear, because fear will always continue to hold on. Fear will always come up with a substitute. Yes, yes, but what if? So if ever that's going on in our confession, we're not yet in that place. But you see, the Holy Spirit is not going to give up. He has come into our lives to make us in the image of his Son. Not only in his image, but to walk in his likeness. So if we're going to continue in the deeper life, coming together, we're going to find the Holy Spirit will work and work, and he'll keep bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up, until eventually you get the message. And that's his mercy and grace. That's his long-suffering and gentleness. And I thank God for that. So you see, as an overcomer, do you know what your purpose in this life is? Do you understand why it is that we must go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of heaven? It's not just words. It's not just something, oh, I better go through, I've got to go through. That's what the Word of God says. God wants us to know. He wants us to experience. There's always something far greater and bigger that God is revealing to us and showing us. And why we go through these things. So that we can learn to see that God is far greater. And that my life is a miracle that glorifies his name. That is why your life, my life, is not the same life as your next door neighbor or your boss at work or even your family who do not know Jesus. You do not walk like them. You do not think like them. You do not act like them. Dress like them. And all the things that the world does. My life is different. It has changed. There is a power that works in my life. There is an unction of the Spirit that will not let me rest until my life is conforming to his standard, his image. And thank God for that. Because that is what our walk should be about. And if these things are not happening in our lives, then we have to ask ourselves, am I really truly born again? That is the question. Man can be very religious. He can be very devout. He can outwardly show all the signs of being a Christian, a believer, for a while. But eventually, it will catch them out. And where it catches them out is because there's not that miraculous power working in their lives. There's the difference. That's why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Because that fruit that's being developed in your life, my life, is a miracle. It cannot be achieved otherwise. And he's graciously grafted us into the vine in order for that to be accomplished. So, as an overcomer, do you know what your purpose is in this life? Is he using you for his purpose and his glory? The same as he used Jesus for our salvation. That was his purpose and plan. Are you seeing in your life a purpose, a plan, slowly unfolding? Are you beginning to see what God is accomplishing and working in your life and my life, both individually and corporately? Again, there should be a realization of this. Do you understand what you are destined for, which is the throne, as overcomers? The bride who's making herself ready. Do you know the Holy Spirit working on your behalf, accomplishing that in your life. That is your purpose. That is the reason the Holy Spirit has come, baptizing us, empowering us for that very purpose and reason. Preparing us also for what the future holds. This is why we have a vision. Because the Lord says, without it, my people perish. So having this vision is part of the supernatural walk. But how many have it? You see, these are questions only you can answer. You see, the problem is, all the while that we're consumed in our own personal interests and ambitions, you can't be aligned to God's interest and will in you. And that is a lot of the problems. We're still so caught up in this world and its interests and things that take our time so often or cause us to come off course to what God has for us. We cannot be about God's business. We don't fully know his purpose and his plan through our lives, my life. Because we're seeking the things for ourselves. And this hinders God from using us. And all the while, we're more interested in our own interests and own ambitions. It will never align up to God's interest and will. You see, it can only be accomplished by giving up all personal plans once and for all. And for the Lord just to take over once and for all. We call this Romans 12, 1 and 2, presenting yourself on that altar. The cross, which we take up daily. We've had teaching for years on that. But what they signify is, I have willingly surrendered all my plans, all my hopes, all my dreams, all the things that I want to do, I have surrendered the lot over to God for his will and purpose to be accomplished in my life. That takes a miracle. Or are we still questioning that sacrifice? Have we come yet like Abraham, who didn't question? He simply was willing to offer up his son, the apple of his eye. Are we still questioning that sacrifice, which is you and me? Are we still not sure? Hesitating, questioning. If so, it's not been accomplished yet. Because when the Holy Spirit takes over your life, your heart, your will, everything, and when he challenges this, you won't question, you won't argue, you will walk and you will place yourself on that altar. That again is a miracle, because it cannot be achieved. It can't be done in your flesh. This isn't about an idea. This is about a walk of faith. It takes faith for Romans 12, 1 and 2. The same as it took faith for Abraham, who was willing to offer up his only son. You see, my life is not my own. Your life is not your own. And he can bless us. He can withhold those blessings. If he wants to, he can crush us, or he can exalt us. He can do anything he likes, anything he chooses, to accomplish his will and purpose and plan in our lives. That's what we surrender over to. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys. It's so that he accomplishes his will through your life, my life, which glorifies his name. And we certainly know, we have great insight and revelation as to what his will is and wants to be accomplished in these last days that we're finding ourselves in. We've had much insight and teaching to what he wants to accomplish his life in and through us as overcomers. How he's preparing us. How he's preparing us outwardly, it seems, with very little happening. How he's preserving and keeping us, which we know, Revelation 12, the man-child in the womb of the woman, the church. There, the child is being nurtured, is growing up, maturing. That is a miracle. And we know that the dragon, the devil, is right there because he knows this is the final manifestation and expression of God's love and power going to be revealed through the church that's going to put him down, as well as establishing ministry and, of course, leading towards the millennial reign when Jesus comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's very aware of all of that. But do you know that to be your purpose, your destiny? Do you know that that's been worked out and is being worked out in your life each day? It's what I'm destined for. It's what I see. Nothing else makes any sense other than the deeper life for my life. That should be your experience. That's the miraculous side working in us. As we know, God's working in us both to will do for his good pleasure. Do I know that my life is not my own? It is his life. I have been purchased. I have been brought by a great, 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 great price that you can never put a price onto it, actually. The blood of the Lamb. Or do we find that we react if we can't get our own way? And you'll know if you react and you can't get your own way, because when you can't get your own way, what works with it often is self-pity. Poor me. And of course, that is the devil's problem. The devil works overtime with self-pity. And so we have to be on our guard in all of these things. You see, he's asking us to have total faith in him. And the message doesn't change. Your circumstances may change, but the message of faith doesn't change. And we are still challenged by it after all these years. Are you willing to walk totally by faith? You can't walk totally by faith. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to have God in your life, accomplishing and working that. We're still thinking that I have got to walk totally by faith. I have got to overcome. And the only way we accomplish any of this is when we let go. And that is why we go through our trials, because our trials are so designed for each of us in actual fact, to let go, which is impossible, particularly in a trial, because you don't let go in trials. But you see, God's ways are not man's ways. They're completely different. So the trials that we go through, and all the saints that have gone through and that are recorded in the Bible, are all for a purpose, that in them you let go, so that then God takes over. And when he takes over, then believing isn't a struggle. You simply believe, just the way you simply breathe, or just sit down on a chair, or we do what we do. We take everything for granted. We believe. And yet when it comes to faith, we battle. And that's what he's accomplishing, so that he takes over in all these things. But we have to choose God's way. We have to choose whether it's God's word, or it's my word, or what I want. Because we have to start experiencing miracles in our lives. They are there. They're probably closer than you realize. Maybe tomorrow you will experience a miracle and you will think, wow, what was all the fuss about? Why, miracles with God are like as natural as breathing. We should be experiencing this, brothers and sisters, because it's for those who are truly born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. We should be experiencing the Holy Spirit every day, working the life and likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ, in my life. Putting that love there, that endurance there, that long-suffering there, his holiness there, his desires, everything that he is, we are, that's being recreated in our lives to glorify him. That indeed is a miracle. And why am I laboring all this as I finish now? Because it's about his glory. And I think the church needs a revelation in these last days and an understanding of the glory of God. But the glory of God can only be understood and will only be seen by this dying world through those who've obeyed in their sacrifice, who've not questioned, have simply obeyed God, moved in accordance as the Holy Spirit leads. Let God choose your sacrifices. Let go. Let go of all those hindrances, everything that still tries to make you independent of God, planning against God, trying to create your own destiny, your own future, your wants, everything. The whole lot has to go. It is an utter, complete surrender to the Lord. And even the Holy Spirit will empower that in your life to be accomplished. But he never does anything against our will. This is why we have the word presented to us each week, so that we can prayerfully take these things before God, to pray them through and to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place of surrendering, letting go, so that it is all of him and nothing of me. You see, as I finish, if this world is to be convinced that Jesus is alive today, they are not going to be convinced by you, by me. They will only be convinced by the life and power of the risen Lord Jesus that lives in your life and my life. that loves and speaks through us. That is what will save the world. And this is where evangelism has gone so wrong. This is why so much of it doesn't work. But God is on the throne. He's one step ahead of the enemy. And we will see in this last day, through a faithful remnant, people responding to God's offer. But it has to be worked through your life and my life. They don't want good ideas. They don't want, well, try this or whatever it is. They need a supernatural encounter. They need a miracle in their life that changes them, the same as it changed you and me. And that's why out of our innermost beings flows these rivers of living water. And those living water that flows through us is a miracle that touches lives. The same as it came out of Jesus, it flowed out of him. Lives were healed, touched, changed, and everything. It is the same working of the Holy Spirit doing it through you and me. That is what the overcomers are destined for. Praise God. So that's the question we've been looking at tonight. Our daily lives should be a miracle. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that none of this can be achieved in our own strength. Why, we don't even know this. We don't even understand it. We can't even comprehend it unless you open our ears and eyes and heart. Unless you make the Word of God living to us, it cannot even be accomplished. But you have said it. You haven't made any mistake over each of us. We are for your purpose, your plan, your glory. And Father, you are showing us constantly how that we are to get out of the way, how we are to let go and let the life and power of the risen Lord, the Godhead himself, live and dwell through our lives. We know we cannot love or love our enemy or go that extra mile in ourselves. It's not possible. We're too selfish for that. But again, it takes a miracle in our lives to accomplish this. It takes a miracle in our lives to be willing to lay our lives down if it were called for one another. We know that none of this can be accomplished without the Holy Spirit. But you have baptized us in the Holy Spirit. You've empowered us, Father. And therefore, we are able and our faith looks to you. Our faith believes how it's going to be accomplished, how you will work this in our lives. That's not for us to know. All you've ever asked of us is just simply to believe with that childlike faith, and you will work and accomplish the rest. Father, whatever is complicating our faith, hindering our faith, in your mercy and grace, deliver us, Lord, because we're each of us being worked upon like having the faith of Abraham. And not questioning our sacrifices, which is your will and purpose and plan for our lives. Lord, help us to accomplish this. Give us a revelation and insight to your glory, what this all means to you, for you. It's not about us, it's what it means for you. Father, we need a greater understanding of this. Lord, we need another baptism of the Spirit. We need a shaking up, Father, so that we can run this last lap with our eyes firmly fixed, seeking the kingdom. Thank you, Father, tonight for this meeting, for my brothers and sisters who've come online. Be with them, bless them, preserve and keep them, Father. Keep them in the walk. Keep them from the evil one, from temptations, those weaknesses, those things the enemy tries to trip us up and fetter us. May we know your hedge of protection around our lives, daily, hourly, momently. Father, work in our minds and hearts, both to will and do, for your good pleasure.
Jesus.